time, and as they are filing out, we have an announcement about a ladies' scrapbook get-together once a month. Stacy is going to be doing. It's going to be on Friday nights, and you have information in your bulletin. If you didn't get one of these for some reason, you can pick one up. There's plenty. There's more in other bulletins. Maybe you got one early, but they're on the back table. Okay, very good. And we appreciate Stacy making that opportunity for the ladies to get together. I think it'll be a fun time for all. So I hope you'll get in on that. And you'll get to meet some of her friends, which we didn't even know she had any friends. So that's great that she had friends. And you'll get to be, show them you're friendly. Or indeed, you are. Have a message this morning I'm wanting to bring. I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, and I have entitled the message today, The Fruit of Chastisement. The Fruit of Chastisement. I don't know where you are today, but I'll tell you what, if you're not in the midst of some sort of chastisement, you will be soon, because this is what life is made up of. But I have to go on record as letting you know that chastisement has gotten a bad rap. Everybody thinks the chastening of the Lord is somehow due to sin or due to some sort of a, it only comes when we do wrong. A lot of times people go through a hard time in their lives and they'll be sitting there looking at themselves and saying, why is God chastening me? Well, the fact is as a Christian, what we have to understand about chastening is that chastening is an ongoing process whether there's sin in your life or not. You're going to have chastening in your life. It's an inevitability. It indicates that God is a good father. To put it into better perspective, for those of us who felt through the years that we've been chastened from the pulpit many times, just you go to church sometimes, you went out, as years ago it was more often, you went out feeling like you'd been whipped. it just you get that sometimes. But the concept of chastening simply means disciplining. And even in this passage of chapter 12, we find that the Bible references the whole idea of being chastened as being consistent with what a man does for his own son in the day-to-day. The Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 12, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. It's not about a spanking. If you want to know where the spanking is in God's economy, that's in verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, that's regular discipline, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now, a lot of times people have mistaken chastening for scourging. Scourging is what happens to the believer who goes headlong into sin, gets chronic in it, and continues in it. And God has to bring the hammer down in a huge way because they won't relent or won't repent. They won't turn from their wrong. And it's chronic, it's overt, it's public, and it's detrimental to everyone. Scourging is when God gets out literally a whip. For scourging has the idea of being whipped with a whip. I mean, it's punishment is what it is. The idea of chastening is not punishment. Okay? Chastening is not about punishment. Chastening is about discipline. You pity the child who doesn't have a family that will chasten their children. And chastening has the idea of the whole concept of putting them in a position where they are responsible for something that may be just a little bit out of their reach. You and I live in a world that is a viper's nest, as you refer to it of late. It really is. We are in a virtual Vanity Fair. I heard a man talk about a little boy back in the day when things were a little more simple in the world. And a man was an orchard owner, and the little boy was sitting under his apple tree, and the man found him there, and he said, son, are you stealing my apples? And he looked up at him, and he said, no, sir, I'm trying not to. Because, you know, we live in a perpetual state of temptation. It's always there. And because that's true, you will fall prey to temptation. And there are many levels of temptation, from the scarlet sins down to the menial basic sins. You are provoked and tempted to speak meanly to people, to your husband, to your children, to your wife. We put those down on the lower level because we don't think them so bad. But you know what? God lets you put your foot in your mouth so you'll learn. He could have put training wheels on you and confines about your mouth and made you not be who you are, but what he wants you to do is he wants you to grow up. That's the goal. He wants you and me to grow up as Christians. The Bible says, except a man deny himself, take up his cross daily, he cannot be my what? Disciple. Core word, discipline. Everything you do, every week you live, every time you come back to this church, you're going to come with something on your heart you did last week. You all failed this week in some way. Every one of us. We did. We messed up. We sinned. We put our foot in our mouth. We hurt somebody we cared about. Thought things we shouldn't have thought. We didn't do things we should have done. Now, what you do with that fact and what you do with that reality is putting the kid into him so he might sometimes. And God put you in the game. He sent you to work, and he put somebody in your world that was hard for you to deal with. He let you be married to somebody who is a... What are you laughing at? All right, I'll give the invitation just as I am. Mark's on his way. We're all in this world, and Mark's proving my point. No, I mean, we all have this mind. We all have this reality. We all mess up. And you have to understand that there are fruits from the chastening of God. God put you in the race. He put you on the road. And he knew you were not perfect. And he knew you would fall down. And he knew you would mess up. And he knew that you would have come to points where you would have to draw down on the grace of God. And the question would be, will you or won't you? There are three ways you can approach chastening in your life. And in this passage, we talk about people who endure it. Look at verse 3. It says, consider him who endured such contradiction. And it comes on down in verse 7. It says, if you endure chastening. Have you ever endured? Maybe you ran track or something, or had tracks you had to run for the special games day in high school or grade school. Maybe you've been out in the garden, or you had some work you had to do, or you had to push that mower around the lawn, and you were just hot and sweaty, but you knew you wanted to get it done. There's times where we've endured, and we just gritted our teeth and gone through it. That's one way you can deal with your chastening. And chastening, by the way, let me say it again, and get it down clear in our minds. It's not because you did sin. We all did sin. If we got chastened every time we got sin, we'd be chastened all the time. There are sins of omission, so it's of commission. The issue is not whether you're going to have chastening. It's part of it. Life is chastening. Every Christian has chastening. The professional, weaker brother who's pointing fingers at everybody else and saying, they're not as good as me. God lets them do that and get away with that because they've got to learn how bad that really is. And until they see it, they aren't going to get past it. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get offended. It's going to be somebody in their own home. So you can't do that. Chastening, God lets you go around and make a mess. He does. Now, here's the point. You can endure it. That means you're not going to get anything from it. You're just going to grit your teeth and muscle yourself through it. Another thing is you can despise it. And that's in our passage as well where he says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. We have an ability to despise it. And I can't put my finger on it right now, but it's in there. Let your eye pan through and find despise. There it is in verse 5. He says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. You can despise it. You can endure it. Or you can be exercised by it. Now, I want you to understand that I am personally in a season of chastening, personally. God is shaking my hand, getting rattles out of my hand, you know, like a little baby. I've got my things going on like you do. So I'm not coming to you from an ivory tower saying, y'all need to get up to the speed. We're all going through it. Okay, every day, every week, all the time. You just sometimes aren't acknowledging it because you're enduring it, and you can extend it by not acknowledging it and being exercised. You can. You can extend the misery. You really can. Or you can be exercised by it. So this morning what I want to do is I want to give you three things about the chastening of the Lord. With our minds on straight, our eyes in our head, we understand it's not about your sin. It's about God's love for you as your Father. He wants to discipline you. He wants to bring you along. Let me illustrate what I did with my boy to kind of put it in perspective. Craig, one time when he was very small, he could barely reach the doorknob in our house, and I've used this before, but some of you are not familiar with it. He could barely reach the door, and he said, "Can I go outside?" I said, "Yes," and he wanted me to open the door, but I thought he could do it. And I remember that he could just barely reach that doorknob. I'm talking, okay, he was little. I said, "Yes, you can. You can go out." I said, "I'm not getting up. I'm not going to open the door for you." So he's in there, he's working that doorknob, and he's, and he finally it opens, and we had the door closer. And he opens, and he runs, and he says, "I got it open!" And slam, it's shut, you know. But he got it open. And what was I doing? This is an illustration of what discipline is. God puts you in a circumstance that is just a little out of your reach, and he says, "What are you going to do? How are you going to navigate? What are you going to give up? Or are you going to stand up? Are you going to grow up? Are you going to be wise or are you going to be foolish? Are you going to receive instruction? Or are you going to aggravate your circumstance?" Now, you're being disciplined right now. You are. You may be ignoring it because it's a little discipline, but God is bringing something back to you again and again and again, and He's trying to get you to go a little further in your walk with God. He wants you to grow up. So I hope you're not thinking of something. I hope you're thinking of you, because this is us. Me, you, as individuals. And I want you to see three things. First of all, I want you to see the potential that is in chastisement. Verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are what? Exercised thereby." Verse 11 sets before us the potential for your chastening. You are struggling, you're working on that doorknob, and you're trying to get that door open, trying to figure it out, and man, it's just hard, and things are coming against you, and the wind's blowing a little harder when you try to go forward, and it's like, whoa, this is tough. But the potential here is right smack dab in the middle of that verse. You can reap the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit. You see, you... It's true in the world, isn't it? There is a peace only to be found on the other side of war. If we laid down with the terrorists, we'd have had a whole lot more going on in this country. I believe that. I don't think there's much question. It's also true in your marriage. Isn't it? The closer you get depends on your willingness to stay at the table and work things out. A little war leads to a better understanding, which leads to greater intimacy. Isn't that how it's been for those of us who've been married for some time? Sure it is. Some of my hardest times with Linda and me were when we were working something out. But afterwards, we were together in a way we couldn't have been had we not come to the table and had not worked things out. It's true in your relationship with God. And the problem is we won't come to the table with God unless things get really heated up. We don't want to look God face to face. We don't want to look Him in the face and say, "God, I know that I'm a mess. I know that I have issues." We don't want to acknowledge what those are. We want to be very general. But what God says is, "I need you to talk to me." And that's called prayer. And you won't pray. Many times you won't pray when you're enduring. Why is it hard to pray? Largely because we endure His discipline. We endure. We are enduring. We're just... "This is life, and it's hard, and I don't want to do it your way, but it's okay, I can do it." It's how we do, we muscle through. Or we're angry. You ever heard people? Christian people! "Why did God do this to me?" That's despising it. You know what? The word despise doesn't mean hate it. The word despise means, actually, I've kind of juxtaposed this. There is that fourth one that's not mentioned, but the word despise literally means to treat it as if it was just a coincidence. If God did something, it's just a coincidence. And you pass it off as if it's not all that relevant. Really, hating is another way we can look at it, but I don't want to get you all confused here. But here's the thing. We can reap peace. We can. It's just on the other side of the adversity. You may not feel like it. You may not want to be able to let your mind go there because you're so in the thicket. You're in a thicket full of briars and you're going like this and you're flailing trying to keep from getting cut. But on the other side of that thicket is a clearing and is a plain. And God has a higher ground. We talk about, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. You know, the whole thing is, it's not until we reach heaven that we'll be out of that complete task of trudging through. For the Hebrew people, they had been unnerved by the circumstances around them of persecution. And they were beginning to lay down, and they were beginning to give up, and they were like Christ did at the door, but then he bucked up and he got on task and he began to learn. Verse 11 again, look at it, it says that no chastening for the present seems to be pleasant. No chastening. Now this word should be a little background to it. It means to train. And it comes from a... as with a wound. When you swat a little child's hand and you say, don't touch that, it may sting, but you're not wounding. It's the idea of sting. And God will sting you. You ever been stung? Remember a guy told me once, he was walking along his merry way and acting as if it was no big deal. He's sitting out on his front porch enjoying the evening and a storm was coming in. He was just sitting there thinking how cool it was and how neat God was, but he wasn't walking with God. He was just giving God his due. Yeah, it's pretty cool. God's good. And, you know, but he knew he wasn't right with God. He watched a lightning bolt hit his barn and burn it down. Guess what? Stung. And maybe that's what it takes. Was the guy lost? No. Discipline, yes. What is the discipline? Really? Is that wrong? Versus the grievous of verse 11 is the idea of rejoicing versus lupe, which is chronic sorrow. It's like it's going to be chronic. It seems like the lupe, the reason I even tell you that is because the word lupe is the word we get lupus. Get for the word lupus. Now, in our minds, if somebody's got lupus, we're really sad for them because it seems to be a chronic thing and it just continues to deteriorate. And so this is the idea of mourning is for death and grieving. And you know, when you go through some chastening, you feel like life has ended as you know it. That it's going to be chronic and there's never going to be a new day. And you know, you always hear people on crisis lines about suicidal things and they get all suicidal and say, hey, there's a problem. They kind of for a problem. The Lord may perfect work, bring you into a new land. A land